God is good, amen? Oh, go ahead, have your seats. I was going to have you do like a couple of backflips. Y'all don't look like y'all ready for backflips today. First of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor and Mrs. Hagen for giving me this opportunity. You see me up here all the time, but very rarely on a Wednesday do I get a chance to do this. So I'm keeping y'all here all night. Just get settled in. Camp meeting starts tonight. All right. But the title of the message today is actually, and Joe did such a, give it up for our worship team. Didn't they do a great job today? And so when you work in the music office, you say what your message is going to be, then they actually sing a song according to what your message is going to be. And so the title of this message is The Next Level. And so the idea is that for us, regardless of anything that you have done or anything that you are doing in your life, you've had to level up, right? You've had to, right now, most of you know how to talk and walk, right? I'm assuming a lot right now, but you know, you in your level of talking, the first time you ever said a word or the first time you ever took a step, well, that was a big deal, right? And even though a few of us, and I have definitely been guilty of this, have tripped, you know, once or twice, I don't walk the same way I did the first day I took my steps, right? Now, that's a positive for all of us, right? What I did was I wobbled my way through the first steps, and then I learned how to walk. I leveled up. And so talking, you know, I'm sure most of us, and here's the thing about both of those incidents, we don't remember them, right? Most of you don't remember the day you took your first step, and most of you don't remember the first word you said, and yet it was probably the biggest moment, the most celebrated moment ever. And I'm sure that there was a day where I took my first step, and I'm pretty positive that when I said my first word, my mom was happy, and then she regretted it later. You know, when you're, because I was that 3-4-year-old who always had something to say. Just constantly talking all the time. And so I'm sure there was a moment where she was like, well, I'm so glad you're speaking, but I wish you would be quiet, right? And so there are levels to different things that we do. And so what I have here, and I don't know if you guys can get a good camera view of this, but this is a Rubik's Cube. It's a speed cube, actually. And so the Rubik's Cube, whether you realize this or not, the Rubik's Cube was actually invented in 1974 by a guy from Hungary. And he actually did this for a physics class to teach them how to, you know, to teach them the ways of three-dimensional thinking. Now, it was invented in 1974, and it was all the rage when I was a teenager. Like, the Rubik's Cube was it. So, now, Dan, the teenager, I don't know if I ever had a Rubik's Cube, and here's the reason why I'm not sure whether I did or whether I didn't, is because I did not know how to solve this thing until about 6 months ago. So if I had one as a kid, I'm pretty positive it got lost somewhere, right? But about 6 months ago, my son got two Rubik's Cubes, and I realized that I had two things to my advantage now that I didn't have in the 80s. One, the desire to actually finish it, and two, a YouTube video, right? Right? A YouTube video to show me how to do it, right? And so I decided I'm going on this quest, and I am going to learn how to solve the Rubik's Cube. And I'm here to tell you, I'm good. I can do it now, you know? Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. I'll take it. We just hand it to Maddie, and he mixes it up, and I just have fun. And so now I've gotten good enough now to where now I'm trying to do it faster, right? And so, you know, if you give me this, it's mixed up. Good 15 minutes, I can have it solved. The fastest time I've ever done it is in 9 minutes. It's not bad, right? Last week, I saw a guy do it in 15 seconds. I'm not at his level, right? 15 seconds. 15 seconds later, it was done. And so that's a different level. And if there was ever a place inside of me that decided that I wanted to get faster and get at that level, well, I got to put some work in. So I decided to go a different way. I decided to go to a smaller cube. And so now I am in the process of mastering the 2x2. I've solved it a couple of times, but I don't think I have it mastered yet. But it takes time. And the whole point of me talking to you about levels is to recognize that we never make it to the highest level or to any level without the time that we take to put in to that level. How many Christians do I have in here? Wave at me. Wave at me. Come on, you know that's a trick, so I know how many people to talk to when you're not saved, right? So if you didn't, Greg, wave, man. What's okay, all right, there you go. All right, so it was like, we're going to have to get Greg Finley saved today, all right? So the idea is that if you're saved in here, when you first got saved, you came in on a particular level, right? And what we pray is that that level that we start with, that level we came in is not the same level that we're at right now. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. That as Christians, our goal is not to always just maintain the level that we have. Maintenance of our Christian life is great, but maintenance of our Christian life comes with the advancement of where we are. Again, and I take it back to the talking and walking. I don't talk the same way I did the first day I said my first words. I don't walk the same way I did the same way I took those first steps. I advanced. I learned how to run. I learned how to talk. I learned when to talk. I'm sure that my mom was really happy when I stopped talking. But I had to learn when not to talk. And so there's a level to learn these things. In Christianity, there are levels and there are places and there are different things that we can learn. Let me read this. I'm going to read this in two versions. I'm going to read the first one in New King James. It says, Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. I'm going to read this in the Amplified because I love the Amplified because it has these extra words in it that I think helps us understand the scripture. It says, Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It says emancipation from bondage, true freedom. And we all with unveiled face continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I want to break this down real quick. The first part of that scripture in verse 17 talks about freedom. And that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For all of you who waved your hands like this, that you were saved, guess what was there the day that you got saved? Freedom. Guess what was there the day you got saved? The Spirit of the Lord. And so there's an attachment to when you are there within that Spirit, where that Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And what I like to say is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's advancement. Come on, I want you to understand what I'm saying here. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, that in that presence, in the moment, in the Spirit of the Lord, there is a place for me to step further into the things of God. And that if I want to grow, if I want to take my life of Christianity to another level, I need to find the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord creates freedom. It breaks bondage. It breaks things that are holding me back. It takes things that are weighing me down. It takes those things off. And the minute that those things come off, I'm able to advance. I know there are, lately the new rage of running is to run with the little weight things. Any of you guys do that? Any of you run with the little weight? None of you guys do that. So y'all need to run more, okay? Well, you run with the weights, and so it kind of adds weight to you, so that if you can learn how to run with the weights on, it'll make you faster without them. Help you, make you, I don't know what it does, but it's supposed to help, right? And a lot of times what we do in our Christian life is we take the weights of the world and we take the weights of bondage and we try to run our Christian, come on, you know what I'm saying? We try to run our Christian walk with the weights on. And yet the Spirit of the Lord is there so that you can release that, so that freedom can be there, so you can take those off. And then guess what that allows you to do? That allows you to advance instead of being weighed down into this spot. The freedom allows for your advancement. The second thing that I see in this scripture, which I love, is the reflection of who I am and who I am to God. In this scripture, it talks about the mirror, and I love this idea of the mirror, right? Because what does a mirror do? It reflects what's in front of it. And here's the powerful thing about us as Christians. It tells us this in Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so it tells you that in that spot, in that moment, that you are a presentation. And so this is the idea of the mirror. And this is the thing that I love about the mirror, is every person in here is a mirror. Every person here is a mirror. And let me tell you what you reflect. You reflect what you worship. I'm going to say that again. You reflect what you worship. How do I know that? Because see, the first of all, God made us to worship. God put worship inside of us. God made us beings that love to worship. And how do we know? Well, just look at every Sunday in the fall. Guess what people are doing? Man, they're worshiping. And they've got their gear on, and they get there early to make their hot dogs, and they got all the, and what's the reflection? When you see that person, what do you see? You see a really big football fan. What are they doing? They're reflecting what they worship. Come on, you got to hear what I'm saying here, right? And so the reality for us is that in this scripture, when it talks about the fact that we with unveiled faces continually see as a mirror, what am I looking at? What's on the other side of that mirror? Because whatever's on the other side of that mirror, whatever I'm looking at, that is what I'm reflecting. Come on, I want you to grab a hold of this. So the idea is that in my life, what is God looking for? It says in John chapter 4, what is he looking for? He's looking for those who worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So he's looking for true worshipers. That's not just what we just did just a few minutes ago. That's what you do every day. So then if in my everyday life, I am living my life, presenting, come on, that's what it said in Romans, present your body. I am presenting my life as a worship, as a form of worship to God. Then when someone's looking at me, what do they see? They should see the reflection of the glory of God. They should see the worship that I'm putting into God. If I'm working at McDonald's and I'm working for the glory of God, when they come around the drive-thru and they say, how are you? They should see the glory of the Lord. And so therefore, in my worship, in my life, I will then reflect what I'm worshiping. As I begin to reflect, now let me say this, and this is super important for us to grab, that the idea of me, the idea of me as a Christian instantaneously reflecting who Jesus is right away, but that's only partial, right? Because we grow. When I got saved, I was five years old, and I still remember it was children's church. It was a Baptist church, and in the Baptist church, what they do is they bring a chair, And they set it down in the middle of the altar, and they opened the doors of the church, which I'm not quite sure that it's an open door to the church, but the doors of the church are open, right? And so now, at five, I'm like, I think I want to go to the open doors of the church, right? And so I remember getting out of my seat during Sturgeon's church and coming and sitting down in that seat, deciding at that moment to give my life to Christ. I also remember not shortly after that, they did a baptism. And I remember, you know, in my neighborhood, we didn't have water. And so I was about to be dunked underwater for the first time. It was not a very fun feeling. And they went from shortest to tallest. So who do you think was the shortest? And so I just remember there just being as nervous as could be. We're walking into this pool that was in our reception hall, little baptismal pool. And I walk in there, little shaking knees, little five-year-old knees are shaking. And I survived. I came out of the water okay. But the reflection of who, even in that young, five-year-old, innocent Dan moment, there was still a growth of reflection that I needed to know how to serve God, how to reflect who God is, how that when people look at me, the reflection of who God is what they see. There was still a growth. There was still time where I had to learn, where I had to grab, where I had to, and you know, I went to public school, so I picked up a lot of bad stuff, right? And so I had to learn. There were some things that I had to drop. There were some things I had to forget. There were some things I had to let go. And there was a moment, I will never forget this moment. There was a moment where I had to decide for myself that no longer was I doing this God thing because my parents were ministers, but I had to do this God thing because I wanted to. And that, the reflection of who I was that day is different than a reflection of who I was at five. And so the dedication that we show into following what God has called us to do, that reflects to the people around us. The last thing of this, and I love this last part, it says we progressively transform. If you actually go back to Romans 12:2, it tells us not to conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we will know what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. And so the idea is that transformation has to happen. Transformation is not instantaneous. Transformation is a progression. And so then if my goal is to come to the next level, if what I want to do is to level up in the things of God, I have to go through this transformation. And in this transformation, and come on, you guys have to walk this out with me. Because as a Christian, there are so many times where we walk the path of Christianity and we're doing the thing that God has called us to do, and we pick up something. And we pick up something that's not necessarily something that we should be picking up. And guess what we're going to have to do? We got to get free of it. So that we can progress to the next level. And the more time I spend with God, the more time, come on, because remember at the very beginning of this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what I have to do is I have to continually get my time with God so that as I get my time with God, as I grow in my time with God, all of a sudden I can become free. I can be free of these things, the sin, as it says in Hebrews 12:1, that so easily besets us, the weight of the sin that so easily besets us. And I can become free of that. I want to show you just a really quick, real quick, man, this time goes fast. I'm almost out of time. I would just real quick, and I'm not going to go through all these scriptures, but I just want to talk to you real quick about the life of Peter. Because the life of Peter is such an amazing trail that he took, right? It was an amazing, amazing trail that Peter's introduction to Jesus came actually through his brother. If you actually go to 1 John, you'll see that Andrew was there with John the Baptist. He saw He saw Jesus through that and decided to follow him. And then when he followed him, he went and got his brother and said, we found the Messiah. If you actually go to Luke, you'll see that one of Peter's early experiences that his mother-in-law was sick and Jesus came into his house and healed his mother-in-law. And one another early experience for Peter was Jesus needed a boat in order to speak to the crowd. So he got into the boat and those guys had been fishing all night, didn't catch a thing. He got into their boat and he preached to the people. And after he preached to the people, he told them to cast their nets. And Peter's response is, we've been doing this all night. There's nothing out there. And they pulled so much fish in. So his introduction to Jesus was full of miracles. His introduction to Jesus was full of these fabulous, great things. And yet for 3 years, he had experience after experience. One of my favorite experiences that Peter had was the Transfiguration. Because I can't imagine what that would look like, right? I can't imagine that I'm hanging out with Jesus. And Peter became one of the inner circle of Jesus between him, James, and John. And so in the inner circle, we're just hanging out with Jesus. That's got to be a cool thing to do, to hang out with Jesus. And now, all of a sudden, I see this light, and there's Moses, and there's Elijah, and what is happening right now? And Peter got a chance to experience that moment. And in that moment, there was also a really serious moment when Jesus decided that he was praying. And I love the prayer that Jesus gave, the prayer of not my will, but your will be done. Come on, that should be the prayer of our hearts every day, right? Not my will, God, but your will be done. And when he went to go into the inner part of that, guess who he brought with him? He brought Peter, James, and John. So Peter has been a part of this, and at the moment that they come to take Jesus away, man, he even got aggressive and chopped the guy's ear off. Jesus put it back on. And so he's had all these moments. So then when we get to this moment right here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 69, it says, meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, you are one of those with Jesus the Galilean. And Peter denied it in front of everyone. I do not know what you're talking about, he said. Later, out of the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, Peter denied it. And at this time, with an oath, I don't know that man, he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. You talk, or you can. We can tell by your Galilean accent. Peter swore, a curse on me if I am lying. I do not know the man. And immediately, the rooster crowed. And suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. That you will deny me three times that you even know me. And he went away weeping bitterly. There's a moment right there with all the wonderful things that Peter saw. Peter being inside the inner circle. Peter being there with Jesus, seeing the miracles, seeing the transfiguration, watching Jesus heal the ear that he chopped off. And in the middle of all that, the moment came, and guess what? And he failed. He messed up. He denied that he even knew who Jesus was. Denied it. And so for a lot of us, it's that moment when you take that moment, when you're walking along in your Christian life, you're like, yeah, everything is going good, and you trip and you stumble and you fall. There's a choice you have at that moment, right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. There's a choice you have. Because in the middle of our Christian life, guess what we're not going to be? Perfect. Oh, come on, let me say that again, because some of y'all look like, I'm perfect. What are you talking about? You're not going to be perfect. It's not going to happen. And in the middle of that moment where you're not perfect, in the middle of that moment where something doesn't go the way it should go, you have to know how to get back up. At that moment, Peter could have left, went away, I denied Jesus, and never had an Acts chapter 2 moment in his life ever. But here's the powerful thing about your progression with God, is that when Jesus rose again, which was so powerful, right? He rose again. Guess who he got a chance to hang out with again? Yeah, Peter did. And he got a chance to hang out with Jesus, and Jesus got a chance to ask him, said, hey, are you going to feed my sheep? You know what Jesus knew? He knew the power that was inside of Peter. He knew the purpose that was inside of Peter. Guess what God knows about you? He knows the power that's inside of you. He knows the purpose that's inside of you. He knows what's there. And he had an opportunity to take that moment and to bring him back into the fold. And so when you look at that moment, and it's such an amazing moment when you get to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, when the 120 are there and the Holy Spirit falls and it hits them, who's the person who stood up and spoke to the crowd? It was Peter. Who was the guy who spoke the words of the Lord? He didn't just speak what was in his heart. He spoke word. He wasn't the same guy who was there on the fishing boat who didn't believe the fish was there. He wasn't the same guy at the transfiguration. He wasn't the same guy who denied Jesus 3 times. He leveled up. Let me tell you this last scripture real quick. I want to try to do this quickly here. Pastor Hagin, I don't know how you do this in such short time. When I go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And this is Paul talking. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Let me just stop here for a second. That in this moment, Paul is saying, he's talking to the Philippian church, and he's saying, look, I'm not claiming to be perfect. I'm not claiming to have it all together. I'm not claiming to say that I've reached there. But guess what? From the moment that Jesus brought me in, he had a purpose, and I am pressing. Come on. I am pressing for that purpose. He's pressing. Let me ask you, are you pressing for the purposes of God? Or are you just satisfied with where you are? Let me ask that again. Are you pressing towards the things that God has called you to do? Come on, you know this? When I always do a hamburger patty. That when God made you, he made you with a purpose. He made you on purpose. But to step into the things, to step into the next level, guess who responsibility that is? It's on us. It says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, and I love this, forgetting the past. Can we just say that? Forgetting the past. Come on, say it again, forgetting the past. Guess what we don't have? We don't have a time machine. So there's nothing that you're going to be able to go back and fix. It's done. Guess what you have in front of you? A future. Come on. Let me say that again. Guess what you have in front of you? A future. And if, in fact, if we go back to Jeremiah 29:11, you have a future and a hope. And he sees a future and a hope. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race, to receive the heavenly prize. Can I just, let me stop here. Let me say this real quick. That sometimes the heavenly prize doesn't have an earthly feel to it. I want to say that again. That a heavenly prize doesn't have an earthly feel. We're pressing forward for the earthly prize. God, give me the house and the car. But there's a heavenly prize. So there's something that God has for you that's bigger than the material things that we have in our world. Oh, come on, let me say that again. I want to make sure. There's something that God has for you that's bigger than all the material things that the world keeps trying to tell us we have to have. Something bigger than that. We press towards a heavenly gift. And heavenly prize. But we press toward the heavenly prize, which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let me just say these things real quick. Recognize that you can go further than where you are right now. Recognize that you can go further than where, that the place that you are now, but wait, there's more. You can stay with just the three, or you can advance to do something else. Second thing, forget whatever's happened in the past. Forget about your mistakes. Your mistakes can no longer be taken care of anymore. Regret is the greatest form, the greatest hindrance to moving forward. Press forward. Third thing, press forward, pursue. Go after God. Whenever I think of pressing, I think of the woman with the issue of blood. That what if she didn't press? What if she'd have just laid back and kind of waited for Jesus? She knew she needed something, so she pressed. Can we pursue God like it means something? Because when you pursue God like it means something, it changes everything. Pursue God like it means something. The last thing is always look for the upward calling. Always look for the upward calling. I'll say this last thing and then we'll shut down. There was a moment in my life, and I'll never forget. When you come home from college, one of the hardest things that you come home from college is everything isn't the same as it was when you left. And so you're trying to get acclimated to this new area. And so I had found some new friends, and I had found, you know, just kind of some new people to hang out with. And I never forget it. It was New Year's Eve. It was New Year's Eve night, and me and my friends, we were excited. We went to go see a Christian band, a local Christian band that we knew. And that night, we were just going to go and have fun. And as we were leaving, there was also a youth event happening at the same time. And the youth pastor didn't have enough leaders. He was doing an all-nighter. That's the craziest thing to do, but he was doing an all-nighter. And so because he was doing an all-nighter, he needed leaders. And he stopped us. He stopped us all. And he said, hey, is there by any chance, can you guys stick around and help? And man, we had such good plans. We were going to have a good time. It was good Christian fun, by the way, just so you know. But we were going to have a good time. But I just remember in my heart, I felt like I should stay. And so all my friends said, hey, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to stick around. And I stuck, and I stayed up all night, which that is not fun, by the way. Not with teenagers. It's not fun. And we stayed up all night. And what I realized at that moment was a change of where I was going with my life to where God has called me to today. That choice, to make the choice to forget about what I really wanted to do and to do what was helpful for the cause for that moment, changed the trajectory of my life. When you press into God, there are places that you're headed that press in will push you to the direction that God wants you to go. Every person in this room has an opportunity to next level. And I challenge you to next level. Let me give you a really cool place where you can next level next week. We have camp meeting here next week. And it's a great opportunity. I know you're like, oh, church services every night, next level. God, you press in, God has something for you. Come on, let me say that again. You press in, God has something for you. So, Father, we just thank you for every person in this room. God, we thank you that you have a purpose on every person here, God. God, I pray for the revelation of who you are to them. God, I pray, Lord, that you can open up your path to them. And most importantly, Father, I pray for your wisdom. I pray for your strength. I pray for your joy. And I pray for your peace in their lives, God. God, lead them on their path. Lead them to the next level, to the next glory, to the next place. And Father, let them be the ultimate reflection of you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me just say this real quick. If you're in here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step of freedom. That's the first step of freedom. We want to give you an opportunity to do that in this room tonight. It's a really simple thing. It's a really simple thing. That all you have to do is just simply believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, that he rose again, and confess that with your mouth. And it changes everything. And you begin your path of freedom. If that's you here tonight, just every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want you to raise your hand. Just want to look around the room. Everybody stand up. I want to say that if that's you in here tonight and you said, hey, you know what? I've never accepted Jesus Christ and you like, I really want to. There are people down here ready to pray with you. If you're a man, come to the men. If you're a woman, come to the women. If you need prayer for anything, men, come to the men. Women, come to the women. God has such amazing, amazingly powerful things for you guys. So, so much. And if you could see what he could see, you would be overwhelmed. Such great things. Amen? I want you to look to the person next to you and say, we serve a great God, and I will follow him. Is there anything else that we have? So make sure you're here on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. We're going to start camp meeting then, all right? You guys have a great night.